Well, welcome back to another podcast. I'm Bob Furring, and as Bob Dylan said so well, the times, they are a-changing. We've gone from a time of war to a time of peace. This time, for the board, we have two openings and two candidates. And my first guest is Linda Ossin, who's running for one of the positions. Linda, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Bob.
Tell us about yourself. How long have you lived here, and where were you before, and tell us everything.
And how did I get here?
Exactly.
Okay. My husband Steve and I moved here 9 years ago, and needless to say, we love it. We came from Minnesota, so if you saw the weather forecast last week, you know we really love it
here. Avoided the polar vortex.
Yes, we did. Everybody's jealous.
Understandably so.
Yes. I'll give you a little bit of my background. I have a BA in English and Communications. And what do you do with that? You get an MBA in business with a specialty in marketing, so you're employable. I spent 30-plus years at 3M Animation, corporate jobs, doing everything from brushing monkeys' teeth in a dental research project, for which I have 3 patents, and then moved on to marketing and a lot of other projects like that. But I led many product development teams, strategic planning teams. Mm-hmm. That is one of my favorites, because you work together, you get other people's ideas, and I always encourage other people to bring forth their ideas, try to come to some sort of consensus, and then move on to success.
You were brushing monkeys' teeth?
Yes, I was.
Tell us more about that.
Are you sure you want to know? I've got scars if you want to see them. It was very interesting in that we were looking for compounds to reduce the amount of plaque on your teeth, so therefore it would reduce cavities and caries.
Okay, well, everybody's got an interesting story here.
Oh, yes.
and that is one that I'll bet is unique.
It is.
So you've been involved in other committees before running for the board, right?
Okay, I have been on the Ad Hoc Facilities Committee. More recently, I am a member of the Communications Advisory Committee, the Information Advisory Committee, mm-hmm. and I am chair of the View Subcommittee, so I work with all the writers and the photographers that put that marvelous magazine together every month.
Fantastic. And I'm happy to be part of that project.
Yes.
What would be your 2 or 3 primary goals to help improve our community, and how would you recommend addressing them?
Okay. Right now, I think we are in a great position. Our finances are good. We've got harmony throughout the community mostly, and our amenities and facilities are looking great. So now it's just a matter of improving upon that. Some of the areas that I would really like to work on would be, 1, communications. We have many vehicles of communication from the board and the staff to our residents. Interestingly enough, they aren't really used that much by our residents. We only have 1,600 people in the community who are registered for the Monday morning e-blast. We have slightly more than double that who are registered users of the website. And the one that I just absolutely cannot believe is that only 62% of our residents have their name in the directory. And I know for me, when I want to write a story and I need to find somebody, it can be very frustrating.
Yeah.
So, I'd like to work on that. Also, communication not only inside Sun City Shadow Hills, but to the outside as well. That makes a big difference for how we're perceived in the community. Another thing is just the quality of the communication, not so much the amount. And I think a good example is in our recent voting when on the CCNRs, the 4 measures. The 4th measure was on the minimum stay, the minimum rental here. And it did not pass, which surprised me, and I think the reason it didn't pass is that people did not understand what it was about. And it was not the people's fault, it was the communication. In that right now, we may have 90 days minimum stay, but if you use an outside agency, a realtor or VRBO, they can rent your home for as little as one night or three nights during Coachella and Stagecoach. And I don't think that was communicated properly, and that made a difference. So we'll be working on that. I'm also really big on planning. Right now, we're doing a good job. We've brought in experts to do some planning for us as far as the golf course goes, as far as landscape. They've hired a landscape architect who's going to plan where we want to be in the future for our landscaping. And then instead of just sticking plants here and there, they'll all be put in to reach that goal. Mm-hmm. We're doing that in other areas,
that's
too.
That's a really good idea because I, you know, when I talk in the community, that is on everyone's mind.
Yes, it is. But I'd like to take it a step further and really work on strategic planning. So instead of just a piece here and a piece there, let's bring the everything together and look at where do we want to be in 5, 10, 15 years? Who are we now? Who are our residents? I don't think we have a good understanding of that. Who are we as a community? What can we do? You know, we have to look at our other communities. We have to look at our strengths and our weaknesses and, you know, all those planning functions and find out where we want to be. And then we can focus our resources, our time, and our talent and our money to get to that point. And we'll all be working together.
Okay. And when your term of office ends, what do you hope your major accomplishments include?
Number one, we still have to have wonderful, solid financials, keep the dues as low as possible, keep the reserve levels as high as possible. That, I guess that would be number one. And second would be home values. I hear things from people about the concern about our home values. And I have gathered together a group of about a half a dozen realtors, trying to get input from them on where we are, how we can move forward, get, you know, higher home values. Firm believer in the amenities and the landscape. It all has to look good. It has to be well maintained. Probably almost as important as the financials is harmony in the community. I think right now our board is working really well together. I think that they're working well with the staff. They're working, communicating with our residents. Residents could probably use a little more input back. Mm-hmm. So if we have a plan for the future and we just, you know, carry on toward that, we will hopefully make Sun City Shadow Hills the most sought after, the most desirable community in the Coachella Valley.
In addition to voting for the candidates, there's going to be a proposed bylaw change on the ballot this year. Would you please tell us what it is and what your opinion of it is?
I would be glad to, Bob. The change would be in the CCNRs and bylaws and how we can make changes and amend them. And in our recent voting to make some changes, it was very, very difficult, close to impossible, to get the number of votes we needed to make a change. Even when it was something as obvious as taking Pulte out of our CCNRs, it only passed by 200 votes. The issue is that right now we have to have 51% of all homeowners or all homes vote in the affirmative to make a change. Even though we had 62% of voter turnout, we didn't have enough. So the proposed change would be that it would require 51% of all homes to vote. That would be our quorum. But that of that number, 66 2/3 would have to vote yes in the affirmative to make a change. The way it is now, it's almost impossible. We don't want to make it too easy, but I think this is a very nice compromise between the two.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking the time to appear on the podcast, and we'll see you at the board meeting.
Thank you, Bob.
And our second candidate for our two board positions is a man that we know very well. His name is Kim Fuller, and he is currently the president of the board of directors. Kim, welcome to the podcast.
Good to be back. Thank you.
Well, for the benefit of new residents here, and for the residents who listen to the podcast or not necessarily living here now, please review your background and how you came to come to Sun City and get interested in the board in the first place.
Okay, background. Let's see. I arrived here about 4 years ago. I think it was 4 years. I own a private tennis and fitness club in Livermore, California. I bought that in 1983 with a partner. We're a limited partnership, and I've been there since 1983. So I would say my unique skill set by profession is I'm a facilities manager. So that's kind of what I do. I still do it, still own it, still work there. I just do most of the coordinating as computer and phone. I fly up once a month for 3 to 5 days because so people don't forget what I look like, and fix plumbing. When I go, I fix, you know, shower valves. I got involved with the board. Somebody just put out a thing asking for volunteers, and I basically manage a complex like this except no golf. I don't have golf courses. So I volunteered, and next thing you know, I'm on the board.
Without even trying, you become the president of the board.
And that was just, you know, a unique set of circumstances that worked out, you know, depending on your point of view of how I've done.
Okay, and so you're up for a second term. And what would be the two or three primary goals to help improve our community, and how would you recommend addressing them?
You know, interesting question. Some people have asked me that before. First thing I want to say is I don't believe there's a whole lot to improve here. This is a nice place. I moved here because I really like it. I like the due structure. I like the history of the due structure. I like the reserves. I like the way it looked. I thought it was well maintained. So I don't know in the improvement quality as far as facilities and services. I think the board's job and responsibility at this point is to maintain that level, at least that level. There's going to have to be moderate dues increases over time in order to make sure the same facilities and services are maintained. Then it becomes a question of do residents as a whole want to increase costs based upon some sort of increase in facilities and services. That's always the tough call. The one improvement in the last 2 years, which I applaud board and volunteers, is there's more resident involvement. So there's more committees now than ever before. There's more people on those. And the real good part is the board gets more information because they're doing a lot of work, which makes decision making much easier, much more accurate, much more responsible to the greater good. So I would contend that we just need to maintain responsibly, but the more resident involvement, the better. And so I think we're always open to additional committees and volunteers, which would help as far as board work.
Okay. Yeah. And when your term in office ends, what do you hope your major accomplishments include?
Oh, people ask me this all the time. This is not my call. I have told everybody I am not the one to judge my accomplishments. The homeowners will judge that my accomplishments. History will judge my accomplishments. It's not my vision as far as the board. The board has a vision. I think that's appropriate. I think five people should decide that. And so my job is to carry out board direction and rules and regs. Oversight. That's president's job. But what I've accomplished, you all will tell. Maybe my very last podcast, you can go ask everybody, and they will tell me what I've accomplished. And then I'll move on to the greater good of being a resident, become the boss.
Okay. Well, I've just learned that there's going to be a proposed bylaw change in addition to the vote for the new board members. Would you tell us what it is and what your opinion is, please?
Okay. Recently, there was in the CCNR bylaw proposed special election we had here recently, there was an item put on, one of the four measures was cumulative voting. Cumulative voting was put on there to change it so that it would be eliminated. People had the choice, keep it or get rid of it. When that vote was done, 70% of those who voted wanted it to be eliminated. But because of our current rules, that wasn't enough. We would have needed about 82% voting to remove it in order for it to happen. Now, this is a result of the current rules for the bylaws and CC&Rs on how we make the change. Now, what the board decided to do in their last meeting, they decided that cumulative voting wasn't the issue. I had concern because when 1,498 people vote to eliminate something and only 554 people voted to keep it, you wonder, are the rules too strict? Well, the state code allows for us to petition the court for specifically that reason. Are the rules so difficult, so strict, that we can't make a change? And we could petition the court to make the change for us. That's a possibility. What the board decided, which I think was totally accurate, cumulative voting is not the issue. The issue is, how do we make changes to the CC&R and bylaws? Currently, it requires 51% of all the homeowners to make a change. That's 51% of 3,450. So 1,760 people need to vote for a change. Here's our dilemma. Only 60 to 62% ever show up to vote. Pure and simple, if everybody voted, this would be a non-issue. Average election only has 40 to 60% of the total population ever voting. What this means then, in the last election, it only was going to take 400 people out of 3,450 to block any change. Now, I do see that as unduly difficult as far as a process, and almost, I would say, impossible. How do you make a change to a bylaw or CC&R when only 400 people out of 3,400 can block it because you don't get 70% voter turnout? That's the dilemma. So the board voted not to petition the court in order to change cumulative voting. The board is putting forward an amendment to the bylaws and CC&Rs, which would change how we change the bylaws. And very simply, it would change to this. 2/3 of those voting, provided a majority of the homeowners vote. So if we get a majority of homeowners to vote, it would be based upon 2/3 would pass it. Very different than in the last election, it was going to take 82% to pass it. That is being proposed. Because I'm speaking as a candidate and not as president of the board at this point, I can tell you, I am totally in favor of the bylaw change. The process, a process which can alienate, disenfranchise people, can ultimately become divisive. When 1,498 people vote for something versus 554 people, they will then ultimately feel the process is unfair. We need to deal with the process, not individual items. So what's being proposed coming up this ballot will be a change to that CC&R and that bylaw, two sections, which would change how we change the bylaws. That's the important thing to vote on. Yes, you can vote for Linda Nye. The good idea. We don't want to have to do another election. But that bylaw change is massively important to how we, in the future, deal with bylaw changes, CC&R changes. By the way, we do need to vote in this election. Very simply, these elections cost about $10,000. If we didn't get enough votes for this election, we'd have to do it again, another $10,000. So definitely, meaning get your ballot, fill it out. Kim Fuller, personally, I am totally in favor of that bylaw change, CC&R change. I am going to vote in affirmative. People ask me personally, that's where I'm going. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, on a personal note, I have enjoyed our podcasts over the last 2 years, and I appreciate your willingness to share your views on what's going on, and look forward to seeing you at the next board meeting.
I look forward to everybody coming. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. And Shadow Hills, please forward this podcast to your neighbors. As you know, we need people to vote in this election, even though the candidates are a foregone conclusion. It's necessary to vote, and so please get involved. And thank you for your time. Till next time, bye-bye.